All of the government programs that we don't like are funded by theft. All of the government programs that we do like... Oh, sorry, there aren't any. Government is the reason that healthcare is expensive. Government is the reason you can't go to college. Taxation is theft.
And welcome back to Taxation is Theft, the show that talks about all the ways the government is ripping you off and using your money to hire people to oppress you with your own money. Doesn't that suck? Broadcasting live on Facebook and YouTube from an underground bunker deep within the jungles of Mexico, I'm Dan Taxation is Theft Berman. You may know me as the former candidate for president of the United States, currently running for governor of Texas. And today I have the awesome Kenneth Blevins, who also ran as former candidate for president of the United States. Two of us in the same place. Imagine that. And yet we're not the same person. One with a mask, because here we're here at the same time at the same place. Proof. But of course, before we get started, if you're watching the live stream, make sure to share it with your friends, tag them, bring them here. They're going to want to hear this. Some people need a good red pill. They haven't had it yet. And also head over to taxationstheft.info and support us by buying some of our really awesome swag. And head over to our YouTube channel, YouTube.com/taxationistheft. We've got some awesome extra content over there that you won't hear on this podcast. And it's really great stuff. So without further ado, Kenneth, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. How's it going, man?
It's going all right. Pretty warm here, but we've had a couple of cool days. I've got to go hunting a little bit and got to enjoy some time all by myself out in the woods and just enjoying nature and doing other than mess with the government. So
nice. But awesome. Well, okay. I'm going to start a new thing now where at the beginning of my show, I'm going to ask my guests a couple of questions. And so I'm going to start with you. You're the first one. Which tax do you hate the most?
All of them. Probably tax, because it's, like 20% right off the top. So that's probably the one I hate the most. They blow it on whatever the hell they want. So,
hey, we actually we're losing you. We got a bad connection. Are you on your Wi-Fi? Yeah.
Yes, I am.
Oh shit! Are you out in the country? Is that what this is?
I'm a little bit far out in the country. Yeah, I think we only get DSL here, so not much.
Oh man. All right. Well, we'll see if we can make it through the show. So it sounded like you said the income tax.
Yes, if I can do those two, but yeah, income tax, just because you get to see it every week when they steal it from you.
Yeah. How would you get rid of the income tax? Because the income tax, a lot of people think that it pays for roads, but it doesn't. How would you get rid of it? Obviously, like, the roads are going to disappear if you get rid of it. How would you get rid of it and still not cause any problems?
I mean, we really just have to shrink the government to begin with, because the overreach of the government, I mean, until, 1913, we didn't have an income tax. We still had roads, we still had schools, we still had libraries, we still had everything that we have today, but we weren't getting robbed for it. So, I'd shrink the size of the government and try to run better, more efficient, and then we wouldn't have to steal from people. But, if anything, you could do a corporate tax, which is going to cost you more when you buy, but it's a voluntary, you choose to buy or not. So, if we could, tax corporations, which, I don't like taxes anymore than anyone else. our government needs to run. But you know, corporations aren't individuals. So if we can relieve the stress on the individual, we'd do a lot better.
Right, and I, you know, stealing is stealing, right? They say like, you know, some people try to justify it. Oh, we're stealing from Target. They have insurance. They have billions of dollars. You know, it's okay to steal from Target. And it's like, no, stealing is still stealing. But you make a good point about the point of corporations, where corporations are basically, you know, they're a corporation is a government entity. Like a corporation doesn't exist without government, right? It's like you go to the government and say, I want to form a corporation. And the government says, okay, fine, give us some money. So why couldn't you just attach some strings and say, okay, but that's also going to include some taxes. And that makes sense. Until you recognize, okay, well, why do people want corporations in the first place? And it's not, and like a lot of people talk about like, oh, there's tax benefits, which in this case there wouldn't be because they wouldn't be taxing us or anyone running a business, only the corporations. So that's not there. But there's also the factor of limited liability, which, you know, at the same time, limited liability, you can get that contractually with your customers. And if you get it with anybody else who's not your customer, which is what you're doing with government, that's not really legitimate limited liability. That's basically, I can pour oil all over your land and you can't do it. You can't sue me because limited liability. And that's absolutely ridiculous. So at the same time, I would argue get rid of the corporate structure. Like we really shouldn't have, and I hate to be like one of these guys that's like, yeah, screw corporations, right? Corporations are evil. Cause it's not, I mean, corporations aren't evil. They're just fictions run by people. And sometimes those people are evil, but, these corporations are, they're getting illegitimate government protection. And any legitimate protection that a corporation has can be obtained through contracts and without any government interference. What do you think about that?
That's, you know, if you I work for a weld shop, so, we go out in the field to, do refineries or nitrogen plants, whatever, we have contracts with them, so... You know, if one of our welds, bust X-ray, or if one of our welds failed, then it falls back on us. But we have contracts through them, so we'd have some kind of a communication there. What possibly would happen if it was our weld, or if it was the cause of the pipe they bought that we're welding on, or something like that. So. But yeah, just leave it contractually instead of having a government. That's like you said, it's the government protecting the corporations that usually causes the most harm with oil spills and recalls and stuff like that. It's they have that protection where if something does go wrong, they're not paying for the whole thing, and it usually falling back on the taxpayers anyway.
Right. Yeah, that's another problem with bailouts and all that other crap. And this is interesting too, because I got in a fight the other day with the Nevada Secretary of State, because they have I've had an LLC in Nevada, and like I know I've untied myself from government for the most part, but I still have an LLC that I used to do a lot of business under. And when I got the LLC, it was just a simple filing I had to do every year to update the list of registered officers, which they would charge me $100 to resubmit, which is completely stupid because all it is like, it's not even a piece of paper. It's all done online now, which amazing that the government even has that technology. It's like you update a file in their system and it says, yep, it's still just me at the LLC. And they want to charge $135 every year for that, which is bullshit. But of course they're charging for the protection, right? But then a few years ago, they started saying, oh, well, we have this new business license, and now all of the LLCs are going to have to pay an extra $200 every year. And I was like, well, screw that, right? Like, what are you actually doing for me? Absolutely nothing. I'm not even driving on your roads. I'm nowhere near Nevada. You're just a shell organization, right? So I was looking through to see, well, who's even required to pay this $200? And I saw like the description and it said any business who does XYZ. And I was like, well, I'm not doing XYZ. Therefore, I don't need to have this license. So I sent them an email. And because of COVID, because I'm not going to call them and wait on hold for an hour because I'm not stupid. I sent them an email. It took a month to respond. And in that time, my LLC had expired. And so I was like, first of all, can you waive the late fee, because you took forever to respond like to my email, which is a very simple question. And they said, no, it's statutory. We have no power. Bullshit, you don't have any power. You just don't want to because you're there to collect money, yeah. Right? So, okay, so strike one. Then she told me, well, are you a government organization or a nonprofit? And I said, no. And she said, well, then those are the only two exemptions we have, and you have to pay for the license. And I said, yes, those are your only exemptions, but I'm not exempt. I'm not required. And, like, I want to explain this to people because, like, you might not understand this. You might not have had to deal with it, but picture this circle. And inside of this circle, these are all of the people who are required to do something, required by law to do something, right? And inside of this circle are the people who are exempt because they meet a certain condition. Maybe they have a special condition because of their race or because they're handicapped or because they have, you know, tax status or something, right? So you have the big circle. These are all the people who have to. These are the exempt people, right? These are all the people that have to. Now you have all these other people out here, and this is the circle nobody talks about, right? The government says, oh, well, this circle, are you in the exempt circle? Because if you're not in the exempt circle, then you're in this circle. That's not how it works. I'm in this circle. I'm outside of your circle of requirements. I'm not required to have a business license. It doesn't matter if I'm exempt. Like, people think exempt means excluded from the people who have to do this. No, an exemption is when you would normally be required to do something and you are not because there is a certain rule for you. So I am not exempt from this business license. I just don't fit the requirement of a business that's supposed to have the license. So I told her, you're misrepresenting the law, and I'm not going to pay for this license, and you're refusing to allow me to renew my LLC without it. And I'm like, I could probably sue you, but it's not worth my time or money. So you know what? Fuck it. I'm done. No more LLC. And I'm going to do something I've been talking about for a couple years, which is I want to create a system where anybody creates some sort of, I don't know what to call it, like a common law corporation that's made completely out of contracts. There's limited liability, but it's completely made out of contracts because that's the only legitimate limited liability that you need. Right?
Yeah, I mean, sounds great to me. I mean, you know, you have a voluntary, you know, form of liability or limited liability there. So it's, I mean, it's all voluntary and, you know, you agree to it. So it's much better than any coercion or force being used.
Right. And it's like, if anything, I mean, I know I'm putting myself at risk because now somebody who I don't do business with could sue me. But it's like, okay, Like, think about that. Like, who could really sue me? Like, any Joe Blow walking down the street. I mean, he could sue anybody, right? Why would he pick me? Well, if I'm engaged in some activity, and that's an activity that's like under my LLC, and it damages him, but like he's just kind of a bystander.
Yeah.
You know, I'm driving down the road and a hubcap comes off of my car and like hits someone in the head and gives them brain damage. Well, if that car was owned by an LLC, then I could say, oh, well, you know what? The LLC is bankrupt. Sorry, guy, you're screwed. I'm eliminating that protection for myself. So what's that going to do to me? I mean, if anything, might make me behave a little bit more responsibly, which I don't really have that problem anyway, because that's not the type of person I am. But for a corporation, it might be. Corporations could get careless with that stuff. Oh, it doesn't matter. We have insurance. Oh, we have a corporation. I mean, nobody wants to have their corporation go bankrupt, but some people do. Some people set up corporations just to borrow a shit ton of money and then bankrupt them and be like, oops. I think Trump does that, actually. So
that what was it, 7 times he's filed for bankruptcy through his corporations? Yeah.
And that's totally strategic. That was not like, oh, well, this business failed, we're going to shut it down. That was nope, transfer your assets elsewhere and shut this one down and get rid of the debt. Keep all the assets, get rid of the debt. Total bullshit.
Yeah.
That's a total state right there.
They used the system designed, and they used it against us. Because we end up paying for it because we get taxed. So but we're the ones that end up paying for their bankruptcies and everything else. So, but yeah, whenever you have a corporation that, you know, like you said, you know, they can spend $1 million to ensure that they don't have, you know, a problem, or they can pay $100,000 if a problem happens to occur. I mean, Which one are most corporations going to do? They're going to save the money, give it to their CEOs or whatever, and well, if it happens, I mean, they're limited liability. They don't have, you know, they might get a fine, but they're not going to have to really clean anything up or do anything other than pay, right, you know, pay a little bit. So
right, you can't stick a corporation in jail. Isn't that fucking ridiculous? And that's why you have like these guys who are like ripping us off for billions of dollars, and they'll get 5 years in prison. But then you got like, you know, some bum gets caught on the street with a gram of crack, and he's like 50 years in prison. It's insane. Yeah, imagine if that guy, I got caught with some crack, but it's okay. This isn't my crack. This actually, I'm acting under a corporation right now. And so you're going to have to charge my corporation and not myself.
Because
I'm trying to think, how could you actually make that work? Because you could actually do something like that. So for example, and I'm gonna use this example that I saw of there was this guy they did a documentary on him and how he was actually smuggling coke in for the CIA in the 80s. And what they would do was they would load up a truck, or like they'd load up a car with like a huge trunk. They'd load it up with coke. They'd stick it on the back of a flatbed, and then this guy would drive the flatbed. And then if he ever got stopped by the cops and they wanted to search, and even if they found the drugs, he would just be like, hey, I don't know anything about that. I just work for the corporation, and here's my manifest that says all I'm pulling is a car and I got to take it here. I'm just doing my job, officer. I don't know anything about this.
I know nothing about the coke in the trunk. I'm driving point A to point B under this contract for this LLC or for whatever. And
exactly.
I don't know what's in the car over there. But, yeah, I mean, they're not going to throw the LLC in prison.
Right. And especially if it's a corporation that's got like 10 executives on the board, like what are they going to do? Throw all 10 of them in prison? No, because it's a corporation. They're just board members. What they have to do is they have to like find the paperwork and figure out who exactly knew that there was coke in the car and like who arranged this whole thing. But that corporation is just like presenting a ton of legitimate cover for this whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
It's insane. Not that I have anything against cocaine. I love cocaine. And I hate the drug war. But, I just want to point out the hypocrisy of the system. And, you know, at the same time, we see all this hypocrisy. I know now I'm gonna pivot to fucking the elitists and their drugs. I mean, we hear about, Hunter Biden, right? Like, everyone's making fun of him because he's doing coke and, no, he's doing crack, I guess. I don't know. He's on some serious drugs, apparently. He's been through rehab and all this other stuff. And people are talking shit about him because he's Biden's son. And I'm kind of like, crack jokes are fun, but, like, you know, making fun of an addict is really pretty fucking low. Making fun of him because he's related to Joe Biden kind of sucks because, like, I mean, shit, could you imagine if you, like, okay, if you hate Biden, could you imagine if you were his son? Or if you like Biden and you hate Trump, could you imagine if you were his son and you still had, like, that's your dad and you fucking hate him and you hate all that he stands for? Like, now, if you want to say, okay, well, Hunter Biden was working with the Russians fine, let's talk about that. But, like, I think it's just really fucking low to, like, talk shit about an addict like that. That's, I don't know, that's kind of fucked up, in my opinion.
To talk, you know, that might be the reason he is on drugs is because he is, you know, Joe Biden's son. You know, that might be right. His coping mechanism for, you know, dealing with whatever he had to go through whenever he was younger. And, or, you know, whatever is going on in that house, that might be his coping mechanism. But
yeah,
the hypocrisy with that comes with, you know, you know, if it was anybody else's son, they'd be in prison for the rest of their life, whereas it's Joe Biden's son, so, you know, he's right. In rehab instead of, you know, prison.
Right. Which, and see, this is the exact same thing we're fighting for when we say we want to legalize heroin and crack and everything else, is that we want people to be able to get to rehab.
Get help.
Like,
I mean,
yeah,
no matter
what's going on,
you're going to be able to get help.
And here, the guy who writes the laws that says we're going to lock people up for simply having drugs in their hand, we're going to lock people up for like 50 years, the guy who comes up with that rule is now saying, oh, but it's my son, and I know he's not a junkie, he's not a bad person, and so therefore he gets special conditions. But to anybody you catch with crack cocaine in their hand, to ask that person's parents. They're a good person. They're just going through a tough time.
Yeah.
I mean, why shouldn't everyone get that break? Like,
being able to make the rules and, you know, being able to live on a different standard because, you know, someone thinks you're important.
Right.
Because, you know, that's the way our government is set up to elevate these people that most of them are bigger criminals than the ones that are thrown in jail. Yet,
right,
they get preferential treatment.
And think about this too. Like, okay, like I get the idea of preferential treatment, right? Like, okay, picture this, right? You own an ice cream shop, right? Every customer that comes in is going to pay to get your ice cream. But if your son comes in, you're going to be like, maybe you're teaching him a lesson about money. You're going to make him pay every once in a while, or maybe you're going to give him a discount or whatever. But he's, you know, friends and family are going to come in. You're going to give him free ice cream, right?
Yeah.
With the government, it's the same thing. Like, when you have the power to do something, to give something to somebody like that, it's so easy to take advantage of it and just say, well, why not? And it's in some cases, it's even difficult to say no, right? Like, I'll give you an example, a personal example. When I was in high school, I was selling candy bars, right? And I had the good candy bars. Like, all the fundraisers had those, like, shitty, like, $2, like, plain old chocolate bars, like, no name, nothing. I went and I bought like a big case of like Snickers and Butterfingers, like all the good stuff, right? And I was selling it, and they were selling like crazy. And people who were my friends would come to me and say like, "Hey, can I get a hookup? Come on, can I get like a free one? Can I get one like half price? Come on, I know you can." And like, it was even difficult for me to say no, because like I knew, like I could sit there and do the math in my head. Well, I already made all my money selling to these other guys. I could give him one. I could sell it to him at the price that I bought it at the store and make nothing. But, and it was difficult not to do that, but at the end of the day, I had to be like, no, this isn't the point. I'm trying to buy computer parts. I need more money. So I can't. I was banking that shit though. I was like, people were like, okay, look, give me one today. I'll pay you tomorrow. And then like the next day, I don't have the money today, but give me another one and I'll give you $3 tomorrow. And like, eventually they came back around with the money. So, yeah. Risk and reward. But the point is, like, you have the power. People are going to try to take advantage of that power. And that's what we see with lobbyists and corporations going to government trying to say, like, oh, well, come on, man. We went to high school together, remember? We went to law school together, remember? Look, my bank is going to give me, like, $100 million bonus if you pass this bill for us. All you got to do is like submit it and talk to some of your friends in Congress and tell them, you know, yeah, but come on, man, we go way back. You got to do this for me. Just do me a solid. And people want to say fucking yes to that. They want to make their friends happy, right? Especially if some of that money's coming back their way. Like it's going to happen. And it's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. But you have to understand, like, that's kind of the dynamic of it. And the difference, we have to understand the difference too of like if you own the ice cream shop, that's your shop. You can do whatever the hell you want with it. But
yeah.
When you're in the government, that's not your ice cream shop. Yeah. That's not your money. Those aren't your police and law enforcement and everything else. That belongs to everybody else. That belongs to me. That belongs to you. So that's like a huge difference, but all of those same temptations are there, and the power is even greater. That's pretty fucked.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you want to help your friends and family out, but like you said, you know, if it's yours, if it's your shop or if it's your store, or you know, if you're producing something, you know, if it's your labor, and you want to, you know, help them out, but to take someone else's, there's no way you can take someone else's labor and give to someone, you know, without compensating them and it not being theft or slavery, right? One of the two.
Right. Yeah, that's an interesting one too, because like a lot of people, they totally fuck us with the language, man, just the way that they rearrange the language. So you've got some people saying healthcare is a right, and then you've got other people saying, no, that's communism. And it's like, okay, let's, cause I have to argue this point all the time, right? Let's understand what a right is. And like the best analogy I can come up with is to say, what's the opposite? Like, what's the opposite of a right? Is a wrong, right? Wrong, right? Like, you look at the First Amendment. What is it? The freedom of speech, the freedom of religion, the freedom of all this, right? What that basically says is you are right to practice any religion that you want. You are right to say whatever you want. You are right to print whatever you want on paper. You're right to do that. Do you have a right to stab somebody? No, because it's wrong to stab somebody. It's not right. It was not right what you did by stabbing that guy, right? So taking into consideration that that's the meaning of the word right, when we look at something like healthcare is a right. Now, the argument is you don't have a right to force somebody else to give you their labor, because that's stealing. You're stealing their labor to force them to do, you know, whatever. So is it right? No, it's not right to steal. But at the same time, do you have a right to go to any doctor that you want? Yes. Like that, anyone, like, I mean, anyone who says no, you don't have a right to go see that doctor. I mean, that doctor has a right to say, well, I'll treat you, but you're going to have to give me some money. But you have a right to go to that doctor. And it's, and so like we have this thing like, okay, let's create all these like government programs so that we can make sure that everybody gets healthcare for free as a right. Healthcare is a right. And it's like, well, healthcare is a right, but you're not talking about giving people the right to have healthcare. You're talking about an entitlement, forcing somebody else to provide or forcing somebody else to pay for somebody else to provide, which is totally different. And so I think that's like, that's super important because they're totally mixing up the language on us.
Yes, I mean, you have a right to seek health care. You have a right to, you know, to care for yourself if you have to, or to, you know, to care for your kid or to try to get your kid to, you know, it's, but nowadays, I mean, if you, you know, clean out a wound and super glue it, you can get malpractice, you know, because that should be done by a professional. Well, I don't have the money to go to a professional right now. So, you know, I'm doing the best I can.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And it's because this is the other thing. While those same people in government are trying to say, oh, yeah, healthcare is a right, those same people are telling you, oh, no, you can't. This guy cannot treat you. He doesn't have a license. Oh, no, you can't buy from him. Oh, no, you can't. You can't buy your drugs from across the border. You don't have a right to buy them and have them shipped to you. You don't have the right. But wait. I thought you were fighting for my right to health care, but you're telling me I don't have the right to get what is already available to me because of some bullshit you came up with. Yes, correct.
To purchase their product that has, you know, been has 1,000% increase in to buy it for, you know, a tenth of what we could by shipping it in from, you know, by not going through their means. So, I mean, yeah, most of the drugs in Mexico are made in America and shipped to Mexico, and it costs, you know, a tenth to get it down there as what it does up here. But we can't ship it back.
It's illegal.
For, you know.
It's illegal. How fucking stupid is that? You
right?
can't. Oh, it's not safe because it comes from Mexico. No, it got shipped through Mexico. It came from the U.S.
It came from the U.S., was shipped to Mexico, and then came back.
So
it's like whenever we send parts, you know, when we send material to China and they make the stuff and then ship it back.
Yeah. That's what they do with our chicken. They send our chicken out there for processing and it comes. Okay. So Clayton is saying, not free, but giving people health care allows them to pay more into an economy. So having everyone in top health and mental shape to help pay for the system. Okay. Let's break this down, Clayton, because you're right. That's true. The healthier that people are, the more they can contribute to an economy. But let's break this down. If I could make the economy better by pointing a gun to your head and forcing you to run on a treadmill for 8 hours a day, let's just say for hypothetical purposes, if that would help the economy, is it right for me to put a gun to your head and make you do that? No, absolutely not. This is a crime. This is coercion. This is maybe slavery. This is threats of violence. This is an assault. It would be wrong to do any of these things to you, despite the fact that it would be good for the economy. And you can look at these examples too, right? Because people say, well, without taxes, how would we pay for government? Well, okay. How many times has somebody robbed a convenience store and they were taken to court and they were put in front of a judge And the judge said, you know, why would you do this? And the guy said, well, look, I lost my job. I've really been trying to get a new job. It's the economy is shit. There aren't any jobs out there. We have to pay our mortgage. I got to feed my kids, my family. I tried every opportunity. I tried applying for welfare. I tried applying for jobs. I just couldn't get it. This was the last final option. And if I didn't do this, I couldn't feed my family. And that's that. And how many times has the judge had to say, well, sorry, that's not my problem. You should get a job and become a productive member of society. Does it matter? Does he care? Does the government care? When you can't provide for your family, does the government care what you're going to do if you don't steal? So why should we look at the government and say, well, we care. We care what's going to happen if you can't steal from people. It's the same thing. And they've tricked us into thinking that this is totally different, right? Oh, it's for the greater good. It's the means is justified by the ends and all this other nonsense. But it's absolutely wrong to justify a criminal act. So back to my original point from your question, yes, providing health care to everybody might help the economy. But if you're going to do it in a way that requires stealing from people, well, you're committing crimes. And now you're living in a more criminal society because you're saying, okay, so yeah, people are going to be a little bit more healthy, but there's going to be a lot more crime in this world because we're going to be stealing billions and billions and billions of dollars. That doesn't make any sense. And so this is like without the emotional aspect to it, which I get is not a fun conversation for a lot of people who you know ultimately want to see, you know, well, yeah, I don't care. Like I'll kill, cheat, steal, and you know, do whatever I need to make sure that America's healthy. Well, okay, let's say that's where we have to go with this. You can still point out that the reason people are unhealthy in this country is because government has prevented us from accessing health care that we would have access to. Like, that's it. I mean, like we were just talking about with the medications that you can get. They do the same thing with doctors. There are doctors here from other countries who aren't allowed to practice because of that shit. If you agree, well, see, now you're trying to say, well, yeah, but if you agreed to run on the treadmill, but if you agreed to run on the treadmill, then I wouldn't have to put a gun to your head, would I?
Voluntary action. Everybody kind of misses the whole voluntary part of that, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's the most important part.
If healthcare was more affordable, then we could voluntarily help more people. And it would cost less in the long run anyway.
Right. And here's, you know, this is what really gets me. Like, yeah, go ahead.
The government has jacked up the price of healthcare so much by, you know, instituting mandates and, you know, limiting access to healthcare, increasing the cost of drugs, all of these things, even, you know, helping, you know, if we have a right to healthcare, then that leaf on your shirt right there shouldn't be illegal. Because I know more people that's helped.
That's healthcare right there. That's healthcare. And I don't have a right to it, says the government.
Yeah, we don't have a right to that. I mean, in some states you do. In some states, if you can prove you have a medical issue, you do. But the federal government says that plan is illegal, even though we're supposed to have a right to healthcare. So. But they'll push, you know, they'll push opioids on us. They'll push, you know, all these drugs that are manufactured that have side effects that are far worse than what they're treating. Yet they won't let us actually treat ourselves. They won't let us care for ourselves. But by God, they want to take our money to pay for healthcare.
Right. And this is something that really pisses me off. And Clayton's going off about it in the comments. He's talking about reducing military budget. He's saying the reason we're unhealthy is because we look to the cheapest food instead of nutritional food. This is what pisses me off. And I keep putting myself in this position because, like, we can talk about getting rid of government programs and fixing this and making some little tweaks here. But all of this completely forgets the original question of why the hell are we working so hard? Half of our jobs have been replaced by automation. We've got amazing technology. A single farmer can grow enough food to feed 100,000 people in 40 hours a week. And somehow those other 100,000 people are forced to work 40 hours a week just to get that little sliver that the farmer has produced. And the farmer doesn't even own all of that food that he's produced. Some bank or some corporation owns it. Or they license the DNA, like Monsanto licenses the DNA for all the food that we're eating. All this fucking nonsense, this all comes from the government asserting either through taxes or through land ownership that the land is not ours, it's theirs. That we have to continue to rent our homes from them. That we have to work 40 hours a week so that we can pay taxes so that we can stay alive. Because before all this, you didn't need to do any of this stuff. You could go live, you just find a piece of land, you build your house on it. My grandfather built this house with his bare hands. You live there, you grow the food, the land provides everything we need to survive. And we've got so far distance from that. And I'm not saying everybody should go live on a farm like that, right? Like, yeah, you want to work, you want to do something, you want to create art, you want to create something like some technology that's going to improve society, do that. But your entire life should not be dependent on your ability to do that. You should not be required to do that just to stay alive when the earth has already provided everything that you need. This is, I think, fundamentally where everything gets fucked up. And we can sit here and argue about how, like, you know, oh, yeah, well, you know, this guy over here should be working as a slave for 40 hours a week. And then he should be forced to give half of his money over here to this guy so that he can get the health care that he needs because he's eating the shit food that was produced over here by some other guy who's working 40 hours a week, dumping a shit ton of chemicals in here so that he can keep the chemist employed so that he can pay his taxes so he can pay for the health care that the sick guy needs that's eating all the chemicals. Like, that's how fucked up this whole thing is. And it's like, guys, like, we can sit here and say, like, yeah, well, let's tweak the little system. Let's pull one string out here, and it's from this ball of knots. No. At some point, we just got to say, like, look, we've got to, like, look at the core of what is fucking this whole system up. And it's everybody's in debt. Nobody owns land. Nobody owns money. Nobody has anything saved for their retirements. They're depending on the government's bankrupt Social Security system so that they can retire someday. It's absolutely insane. And we're sitting here arguing about whether or not you should pay $10 or $100 for your insulin. It's like, what is this? And we have this fake money that's not even money.
The money has absolutely no value other than what the government tells us it has. And every time we borrow, every time they print more money, the value of that, you know, it goes down. So the people that do own property, the people that have, or not that own property, because that the worth of that will go up as the cost of money goes, or the value of money goes down, because it'll take more money to, you know, 4 acres. You know, if you pay $40,000 for 4 acres, if you double that, you know, double the cost or half the cost of money, it's going to be 80. But
yeah, and this is, check this. Check
the,
this.
The people that have savings accounts, the people that have, you know, that have been smart enough to live on their own means and have a savings account. You know, if you have $100,000 in your savings account, and then the government borrows $3 trillion, well, that $100,000 is now worth 60, or 50, or less.
But the number is the same. I don't get it. The number's the same. I didn't lose anything. It's a fucking bamboozle. But this one's even more fucked up. Okay, so picture this: you take your $100,000, you buy a piece of land for $100,000, inflation happens, your land is now worth $300,000, and most people are sitting there, oh, the value of my property went up. No, the value of the dollar went down. Your land is now worth $300,000. You're going to sell it. They're going to tell you, well, you made $200,000 profit. You need to pay tax on that. You're going to end up paying maybe $60,000 or $70,000 in taxes, which is $70,000 out of the original $300,000 now is like, what, a quarter? So you're going to end up paying 25%. So now what you originally had as $100,000 is now only $75,000. And this is how you could put that into perspective too, because you could say, okay, when you bought that $100,000, you got 100 acres. Now you sold it for $300,000. You sold 100 acres for $300,000. So now you move next door and you want to buy a different 100 acres. It's going to cost you $300,000, but you only have 230. Because you had to pay tax. So they're literally charging you $70,000 to move right next door. That's how stupid that is, and that's a byproduct of inflation again. Not to mention, you're going to be paying property tax on that land the whole time you own it, which is really fucked up, because let's say you buy a piece of land for $100,000. And you're going to start paying property tax on it. Some places it's as high as 3%. That means 30 years later, you will have spent $200,000 on that same piece of land. But now, if the value did go up to $300,000, you're actually going to be paying more. That 3% is going to be 3% of the current value, not what you paid for it when you bought it. So you could be buying your land over and over and over again. I thought you owned the land. I thought that was the whole point of buying it.
So no, buy to rent. Yeah. Because you're renting from the government. Once you pay it off, you're still renting from the government. They're still taxing your ass. Yeah.
You find oil in the ground, it's theirs. Like, imagine like the gold rush. We hear about people like, oh, they were going out to California, they were finding gold everywhere, they were digging it up, and it was theirs. That can't happen anymore. You dig up gold, it belongs to the government. Right?
Well, you're at least getting taxed for whatever you dig up. So, I mean, probably 60% of it belongs to the government, at least 60%.
This is what's interesting. I was looking at the Texas Constitution, and of course, every state's different. But what was interesting is, I was looking for business licenses, because I was like, we're always in Texas talking about like hair braiding licenses, which is total bullshit. But they try to say, oh, you need 60 hours of training. You need like 5 hours of training to become a cop and 60 hours of training to become a hair braider. And you need to get a special license for it. And so this is always something that comes up. I'm exaggerating those numbers, but this is something that always comes up in Texas. And I was like, where in the Texas Constitution does it say that? So I dug it up and I started looking for business licenses, and I didn't see anything. There was nothing in there for business licenses except for oil companies, which I thought was interesting, because if you think about it, it's like, okay, you got this great state of Texas, and they're okay, yeah, we want to build an empire. We want to have the strongest state army, and you know, all of this and that. We got to raise money. Let's claim that the land is ours, and so anything that comes out of the land, we can tax, like oil. That's how they look at it. Like these people who come up with these rules are literally sitting there like, ah, here's my Texas, this 100 billion acres of mostly wasteland, but lots of oil. It's all ours! We're going to let people come here and live here. We'll charge them a small property tax because we need them to support the oil industry. We need them to support the entrepreneurs who are pulling our oil out of the ground to make a profit, but they're going to pay us a tax because it's our oil. We'll basically, we'll sell them our oil, and we'll just, like, make it a percentage, right? Like, oh, it's a 10% tax? No, we're taking 10% of all the oil you pull out. We just don't have to do any of the work. That's what it is. That's how these people see this. It's absolutely insane. What's going on in your world, man?
Yeah, I mean, in my world, like you said, you're talking about oil. Where I live in Oklahoma is on the Osage Nation owns all the mineral rights. So I have 4 acres in Osage County. It's still a rock. There's a rock like Texas, and I find it and I go, oh man, look at this rock, and I sell it. Then, that's federally, and it has to be tried federally.
We're losing you.
Yeah, on my property, so.
So, I want to ask, because I know you ran for president. What are your future political aspirations now?
Right now I'm seriously considering a run in 2022 for U.S. Senate for Oklahoma. I'd be going up against James Lankford. As something to said, I think I can represent the people of Oklahoma fairly well and help spread the message of liberty and libertarian. So yeah, I'm looking forward to doing that, and Tulsa, Oklahoma, they have two colleges, one Division One. I don't know. I think SORU is a Division One also, but there are two biggest colleges in Tulsa are the Golden Hurricane and the Golden Eagles. And if you've ever been to Tulsa or ever downtown in the fairgrounds, they have a Golden Driller. So I think Tulsa would be a great start to turning Oklahoma gold. And so that's my plan for 2022 is turn Tulsa gold and
nice.
Try to get as many libertarians voting in Tulsa County and the surrounding areas as I can. So nice. Growing the party. In my home county, the county I was born in anyway, but trying to start grassroots and getting it as big as I can there and spreading it through Oklahoma. But
awesome, man. I'm looking forward to that. 2022 is going to be an awesome year. I know there's a lot of good people who are going to be pushing for liberty. We're still living under incredible tyranny. So I think the resistance movement, the freedom movement, is growing. It's going to continue to grow. It's slow. It is a lot of slow growth, and that's kind of that's the nature of the game we're in. These tyrants have spent billions of dollars figuring out how to exactly psychologically manipulate us, there's no profit in being free, that's not true, but there's not a giant centralized profit the way that there is in tyranny, and so of course nobody really wants to finance that. It's more profitable to finance control of other people. So it is slow, but as people wake up to this. This is what's really interesting. Once people are taught to be free, you can't teach them to be slaves again.
Yeah.
Right? This is interesting with animals too. You'll see this with animals, right? Like you see, Tiger King, perfect example. Like he's got all these like giant cats that he keeps in cages, but he'll get in there and he'll play with them because he's they've been around people since they were cubs. They've been in
cages. They were born in captivity.
Exactly. They're born into this system. Whereas if he tried that with like a wild tiger, no way in hell. His shit's going to eat him alive. And it's that same kind of thing. Like it's easy to, you know, take a tiger out of a cage and set him free. And he's probably not going to want to go back in there. But it's not so easy to put a wild tiger into a cage. And I will say this though, because you know, we hear this all the time about how animals being released from captivity have a very hard time adapting in the wild, and that sometimes means they can't survive. Having more intelligence, as humans do, knowing that getting set free and being reintroduced to the wild, you don't have certain skills that you're going to need, makes it a bit terrifying. And I think that is psychologically why some people resist freedom, because they understand that, hey, yeah, I might be in a cage in a zoo, but at least I'm being fed.
Yeah.
And that's very real. We talk about it kind of like as a joke or like as a meme or whatever type of analogy, but it's actually very factually true.
And
I think that's
the way the country is now. A lot of people don't realize that they are captive, you know, because they have. Either their cage is just big enough where they think they're free, or they just don't realize that, you know, that they are captive. They don't realize that, you know, by paying taxes to the government just to be able to do the things we need to survive, that's captivity.
Right.
You know?
Hamster gets a wheel. You can run on all day.
Yeah.
Man. Before we go, what's the shirt you're wearing?
This is
We're losing you again.
Just shirt in Oklahoma, Stillwater. But I figured if you were gonna wear a marijuana shirt, I would too. Even though I've never hard drugs, drink a little beer every now and again, a little bit of whiskey, but.
I think you said you've never tried cannabis, but that is not on record because your signal dropped out. So some people will just not have heard that.
I've tried that, but as far as any THC or anything, I've never tried. Never smoked or imbibed in any of that.
You're missing out.
I'm completely for it. But, yes. Well, that goes.
I don't want to be a bad influence.
I work in a federally regulated field. So drug test. If I bust one of those, I can't go work.
It must be torture hanging out at the libertarian conventions. Come on, man. We're all gonna go smoke a joint.
Right. Yeah. Wherever you're sitting there next to Vermin Supreme, and he's, you know, packing a ball and offering it to you, like, well, all right. I get drug tested. Can't do that. Sorry. But yeah.
Oh man. Awesome. Well, so in case anybody missed it, the shirt he's wearing is Doc Green. It's his brother's cannabis dispensary. Cannabis, right? Cannabis
Cousins.
Or him?
Cousins. It's a cannabis dispensary. So yeah.
And is there a website? Is it just? I would imagine is you got to be in Oklahoma to go get it, right? You can't sell that stuff online yet.
No, yet, yeah. It's in Stillwater, Oklahoma, right there off of First and Main, right down the street from Eskimo Joe's. So
nice, awesome. All right, man. Well, it's been awesome having you on the show. Thanks again, guys, for tuning in. And make sure you share this with your friends. Make sure you go subscribe. We're on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Actually, Instagram's a whole different story. That's just a bunch of memes. If you like memes, go follow Instagram. But I also do some live streams over there. And those are usually fun. Sometimes I'll add in some randos watching on Instagram. Hey, I want to join the stream. Okay. Ask me questions about why taxation is theft. And we go at it. It's pretty awesome. So go check that out. And, of course, head over to taxationstheft.info and buy a whole bunch of stuff. Buy, like, 10 hats and give them out to your friends so you can all go to the movie theaters wearing the same hat. It'll be really awesome. Why would you go to a movie theater in these times? That I can't tell you, but you should still do it. It actually might be fun to go hang out in an abandoned movie theater and bring... Oh, dude, I got it. Okay, here's what you do. You go to the old abandoned movie theaters. You can get these pocket projectors now that are like, they're battery operated and they'll last for like 3 or 4 hours. And they're actually pretty bright. So you can bring your own crowd to the movie theaters and like, you don't even need electricity. Just turn the shit on, watch your own movies. You can literally, you're not limited to 12 movies that are available, whatever Hollywood just barfed out. You literally have a million options of whatever is available on Pirate Bay. How perfect is that? Oh, shit. But if you do that, do it at your own risk. Don't tell the cops I told you to do it. I'm not being held responsible for that. All right, Ken. It's been awesome. I'll see you next time.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And taxation is theft.